Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again and welcome to another episode of 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. We always like to do something different, so tonight I've got a new idea. I'd like to present you with a musical Bible. Tonight we have a collection of songs all about Bible characters. So where shall we start? Well, why don't we start at the very beginning? Here's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In other words, you and me in our wonderful world. Don Francisco singing, Adam, Where Are You?
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. In the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? In the stifling heat of summer now, the gardener and his wife are in the field. And it seems that thorns and thistles are the only crops their struggles ever yield. He eats his meals in sorrow till he sinks into the dust whence he came. But all down through the ages, he can hear his maker calling out his name. Adam, 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 where are you? Though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still the prisoners of their fears. Rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the Father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before. Won't you come in from the darkness now before it's time to finally close the door? Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Adam, I love you.
Sometimes life is very hard. It's little me against a big bad world. Me with all my vulnerability, facing life with all its complexity. Often it's a case of David against Goliath. But then remember who won. Even more, remember why he won. God was on his side, or to be more accurate, he was on God's side. An ounce of right is worth more than a pound of might. So here's Ian White singing about the story of David and Goliath.
Well, I'm just a shepherd, David is my name. I live in a village called Bethlehem. My brothers are soldiers and they're fighting in the war. But I don't understand what the fighting is for. I don't understand what the fighting is for. I go to see my brothers and I bring them cheese and bread. I see Goliath and I hear the things he said. He's big and mean and ugly, he's a very wicked man. But I'm gonna get him if I can. I'm gonna get him if I can. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, I don't need spears, I don't need armor plate. If the Lord will deliver me, he'll do it anyway. I'd rather use something that I know. I take a little stone and here I go. I take a little stone and here I go. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Oh, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, and I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, Goliath, you can fight me with your spear and with your sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And everyone who gathers, he will understand. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. The battle is the Lord's and it's in our hands. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. I've got the fire of the Lord inside. Well, who's gonna win? Tell me, how's it gonna be? Is it gonna be him or is it gonna be me? I'm not very tall and I'm not very wide, but I've got the fire of the Lord inside. 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 Fire. Fire.
Our next track tells us the story of one of my favourite Bible stories. It's the one about Elisha at Dothan. Elisha the prophet has annoyed the Syrians, so they've come to capture him and they surround the city. Elisha's servant gets up in the morning, opens the curtains, looks out and sees all the Syrian army surrounding the town, and he panics. Elisha is very calm, and Elisha says to his servant, "Look, although the Syrians are surrounding the town, around the Syrians is the heavenly army come to protect us. So as the song puts it, there's more that stand on our side."
A king who hated Israel was trying to win a war, but every move he made it seemed that Israel knew before. "No, it's not a spy inside our camp," his men explained one day. "There's a prophet named Elisha, hears every word you say." Well, they found out where Elisha lived, and the army marched that night. They surrounded all the city by the morning's early light. When Elisha's servant rose, he saw that army all around, and he said, "What are we gonna do? They're gonna cut us down." But Elisha told his servant, "Now don't give in to your fear. Those that are with us are more than all this army here." And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would have the sight required, and he saw God's mighty army with its chariots of fire. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The enemy moved toward the town, and Elisha prayed a prayer. "Lord, strike them all with blindness, let confusion be a snare." God struck that whole army blind, and he brought them to defeat. The victory he gave that day was total and complete. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The eyes of God search all the earth to find each blameless heart, to show his power and faithfulness, to take his children's part. And though fear is all around you, don't you dare give in, 'cause the battle is the Lord's and he's the one who's gonna win. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see.
And now for something slightly different. Instead of a song, here's it in reading form, by voice. This is my good friend Jamie Stewart, who has produced the Glasgow Bible, and this is his version of the Good Samaritan.
One day, an expert lawyer tried to trick Jesus. He said to him, "Mister, I'm keen to have this everlasting life that God has promised. How do I get it?" Jesus said, "You have the answer right there in your law book, my friend. What does it say?" And the lawyer replied, "You've got to love the Lord God with your whole heart, soul, mind and strength. Aye, and you've got to love your neighbour just as well as you love yourself." "No bad," said Jesus. "Just act like that and you'll please God." But the lawyer wasn't contented with that and asked again, "Aye, but just exactly who is my neighbour?" Jesus decided to illustrate his meaning with a wee story. One day, he said, a man was travelling along the dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Suddenly, some ruffians laid into him, whipped all his gear and clothes, and left the poor soul half dead. Now, a Jewish priest happened to be going down that same road. He sees the man lying there, turns his head, and gives him a nifty body swerve. In the same way, a Levite comes on the scene. offers nae help, and just leaves the poor old punter lying there. Finally, a Samaritan comes along the road. He sees the man and is touched with pity. He gets out beside him, kneels down and cleans his wounds. Then he puts him on his own donkey and fixes him up at the nearest inn. He looks after him during the night and in the morning squares up with the innkeeper, promising to look in on his way back. Jesus then turned to the lawyer. Now then, which one of they three was a neighbour to the wounded traveller? Dead easy, said the lawyer, the man that was kind to him. Jesus answered, right then, Jimmy, just you do the same.
That was Jimmy Stewart's Glasgow Bible version of the Good Samaritan. Now here's the Saltcoats Bible version. A man was travelling from Ardrossan to Stevenston when he was mugged and left lying by the side of the high road. It so happened that a citizen or two saw the incident. They were very angry and upset by what they saw, so they phoned the police on their mobile phones to come quickly and help the poor man. When they got home, they were still angry, so they wrote letters to the Ardrossan and Saltcoats Herald newspaper, to the local council, to the MP, the Prime Minister. Something ought to be done about law and order in our society, they protested. Somebody ought to do something about it. The authorities need to put a stop to this antisocial behaviour. We can't even walk down our own street in safety. They were very indignant and passionate about law and order, but they omitted to go up to the man and help him in the moment of his need. So he was still lying near the traffic lights when some church people, including the minister, were coming toward the church for the Sunday service. They stopped short of the man. Oh, the poor soul, they thought. What's happened to him? Is he drunk? Surely not at this time in the morning. Is he ill? Maybe we should phone for an ambulance. Is he homeless and begging? Do we know his face? Is he a local or a stranger? Oh, here comes the minister. He'll look after the situation. But the minister, meanwhile, was thinking much the same thoughts. Plus, it's 10 to 11. I'm late already. I haven't time to stop. What would the whole congregation say if I arrived at 11:30 with the excuse? A funny thing happened to me on the way to church this morning. I was doing my good Samaritan good deed for the day. Sorry to have left you in the lurch. He agonised in the horns of a dilemma for a moment, and then noticed the group of worshippers approaching the man, and he thought to himself, oh good, they'll look after him. They can be late for church easier than me. It's good for the laity to share ministry, priesthood of all believers and all that. The minister did feel for the man, but he also felt for the congregation sitting waiting up the road, and he felt God's call to be a preacher more than a social worker. These are the tough decisions one has to make, he thought. It's a question of priorities, choosing between two good things to do. It's never easy. Why does it always seem to happen at busy times? The worshippers too shared all these agonies, but when they saw the minister scoot past, they thought, maybe the minister knows something we don't. Maybe the minister knows this guy from before. Maybe he's a bag of trouble. If the minister can't bother to stop, why should we? If that's the minister running late, we'd better get a move on or else we'll be late too. We don't want to miss his sermon on the Good Samaritan. So with bells ringing in the man's ears, the church folk went on into church. Fortunately, there was another passerby who was not in a hurry, a little heathen, who had no intention of going to church. Nor was he an indignant citizen. In fact, he didn't belong to Saltcoats at all. Truth be told, he was an asylum seeker from Glasgow. No, not seeking asylum from Glasgow, but an African seeking asylum from all the violence in Zimbabwe, now living in Glasgow. He had come down the water to savour some of the good life in democratic, free, Christian, civilised Scotland. He was deeply hurt to see the man beaten up and lying on the pavement. It opened up deep wounds in the man who himself had recently been tortured. He could all too easily identify with a man being physically attacked. He sighed deeply. Oh no, not here as well. So he crossed the road and went to help the poor man. The man took one look at the foreigner and ran away. I'm not getting mugged twice in one day, he vowed. No, this is not a true story. But so much of it rings very true today that we must concede it could easily be true. So we have a choice. This not-so-good Samaritan story or Jesus's good Samaritan story. Which script do we choose to live by? Which world do we want to live in? Now let's go back to some music. This is the song about Gideon, who was called to be the leader of God's people in a time of crisis and war.
Gideon, Gideon, this is your God calling you. I need you to fight for me in a special way. Gideon, Gideon, I know you don't feel too strong, but I am sending you and I'll be with you all the way. Gideon, Gideon, why do you always need a sign? Once the fleece was wet and once was dry.
That was Ian White singing about Gideon, a character from the Old Testament. If we turn to the New Testament, we have the scene of Jesus coming on the scene and calling fishermen to be his disciples. Although Jesus spoke a lot about shepherds, when it came to the crunch, most of his disciples were fishermen. So this is Peter's song, "Come and Follow Me," it's called.
Andrew, we'd been fishing
the best part last night. We caught nothing for all our trying. Come the morning and the light. Then I saw him and he asked me to take him out a little ways from the land. He was teaching all the people and they listened there in silence on the sand. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. And when he'd ended all his teaching, he turned around and spoke again to me. He said, Simon, row out farther, drop your nets once again into the sea. And I said, Master, we've been working since the sundown yesterday. But one more time, I'll throw them over, just because it's you who says, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Follow me, follow me. James and John, they're both my witnesses to the truth in what I've told, and how our nets were filled to bursting more than both our boats could ever hold. And I fell down there before him, crying, leave me, Lord, I'm full of sin. Said, Simon, don't be frightened, follow me, you will learn to fish for men. Just come and follow, come and follow, come and follow, come and follow me. Come and follow, come and follow, come and follow. Come and follow me. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow me. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow. Come and follow me. Follow me. Follow me.
That was Don Francisco singing Come and Follow Me. Our last song today is Michael Card singing Now That I've Held Him in My Arms. This is Simeon's song. Simeon was an old man who lived day and night in the temple. He was waiting for the long-expected Messiah of the Jews. When he saw Jesus, this baby in Mary and Joseph's arms, he suddenly realized this was the Messiah. This was the fulfillment of all his hopes and dreams, the answer to all his questions, everything he'd lived for. So I leave you in Michael Card's hands. Remember to tune in again next week to 3TFM with me, Alec Noble, on Holy Half Hour. See you then.
An temple, waiting in the court, waiting for the answer to a promise. And all at once he sees them in the morning sunshine, a couple coming, carrying a baby. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, as I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. Mary and the baby come, and in her hand 5 shekels, the price to redeem her baby boy. The baby softly cooing, nestled in her arms, Simeon takes the boy and starts to sing. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. Let your servant now depart in peace, 'cause I've seen your salvation. He's the light of the Gentiles and the glory.